The reason comes from Philippians 3:4b to 14, and you can find it in your prayer Bibles on page 954. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, pressing towards the goal, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you. John chapter 12, beginning verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May my words and our thoughts be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. So our first reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians is probably his most affectionate letter, addressed to the very first friends he made in Europe.
but written in pretty dire circumstances, because Paul was in prison. He was on trial for being a public nuisance, for getting the crowds excited about Jesus, for threatening the status quo. Again, scholars aren't quite sure where he was. He was probably in prison in Rome, but it might have been Caesarea or Ephesus, and the date could be anywhere between 59 and 62 AD. In 64 AD, Christians in Rome were massacred on Vatican Hill. So the threats were real, and Paul knows that his life is in danger. He was eventually executed, probably in 65 AD, at Tre Fontana, and was buried where the Basilica of St. Paul Without the Walls now stands in Rome. And as a Roman citizen, he'd have been beheaded rather than crucified. Hardly an easy choice. But he's writing hopefully, gratefully, and joyfully to the Philippians, and when you know about his circumstances, it's pretty amazing. So today we're thinking about righteousness through faith. And Paul has had a roller coaster of a journey. The passage begins with Paul explaining his credentials as a Jew. And he ticks all the boxes. He was circumcised on the eighth day. So he was born a Jew. He wasn't a later convert. He was of the people of Israel, not of mixed race like so many people who then occupied Palestine. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the little select tribe which had given Israel its first king, and which had the rather dubious privilege of marching in front on the day of battle. He was a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, speaking the language, even though his family settled in a Greek city. Those were impeccable credentials, and his religious observance was the same. He was a Pharisee, one of the strict sect who obeyed the Jewish law in every detail, and he was active in his persecution of Christians who threatened the law. In his own eyes, Paul was totally righteous. I don't think I'd have enjoyed his company much. But then he met the risen Jesus in a vision on the road to Damascus, and his world turned upside down. Nothing else mattered. His priorities changed completely. His worldview changed. He changed. And it wasn't his doing. He was changed. He knows now that any righteousness that he has is not in his scrupulous keeping of the law, but as a result of the faith he has been given. He wants to know Christ in response to what God has given him. And if that means sharing in Christ's sufferings and even in his death, then so be it. And that's not said glibly, but by a man in prison, facing a death sentence. It's the only time in his writings that he calls Jesus my Lord. It's a significant moment, and it's very clear that the prize is to share in Christ's resurrection in eternal life with God. But he's not there yet, and here is huge encouragement, both for the Philippians and for us. He keeps on trying, keeps on striving for the prize, not because he'll get it by his own efforts, by ticking all the boxes, but because Christ Jesus has made him his own. He's not perfect, nor are we, but he will press on towards his ultimate goal, the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul can see the finishing line. Apparently, very often in races, The trophy stood beyond the line to spur runners on that last stage. So he knows what he's aiming for. He's forgetting all that lies behind and straining forward. Paul is very clear, and some of the Philippians needed to hear this, that accepting Jesus as his Lord was not the end of the matter. He had to keep going. He had to keep conforming his life to that of Jesus. Not to earn salvation, because Jesus had done that for him on the cross, but to continue to respond to a wonderful gift. Become Christ-like, says Paul, because Christ has made you his own. We have to hang on to that as we enter the holiest and most demanding time of the Christian year. Passion Sunday, we change gear, we begin to look towards Holy Week and Good Friday, because that is the only way to the overwhelming joy of Easter. So our gospel reading today is a sort of trailer, as people very close to Jesus began to understand what was going to happen. And Jesus uses Mary's gentle and beautiful anointing of his feet to prepare his friends for his death and burial. He knows there's no easy way. He raised Lazarus from death to life, though Lazarus will die again one day. But Jesus has to face an agonizing and prolonged death on the cross. And then John is very scathing about Judas, who has chosen the way of darkness, not of light. And that's the choice, light or darkness, which John is offering his readers right through his gospel. If we'd heard the Old Testament lesson, we'd have heard God speaking through Isaiah. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Paul knows that this is fulfilled. Christ has made us his own. Christ has made us righteous, with no need to tick boxes in order to qualify. We simply have to live that, to become Christ-like in all we say or do or think. And Holy Week and Easter help us to do just that.